Awake, Zion, awake. Awake and trim your lamps. Awake, Zion, awake. Awake and trim your lamps. For the stars of heaven shall fall, and the moon shall turn into blood. Then the sons of God shall arise. Zion, awake. So awake now, Zion, awake. Awake and trim your lamps. Awake, Zion, awake. Awake and trim your lamps. For the stars of heaven shall fall, and the moon shall turn into blood.
We bless God who has richly supplied us with every spiritual knowledge that is needed for our development and our growth into the knowledge of Christ, the Son of God. Like we know the knowledge of Christ, the Son of God, is the key to man's escape from the realm of death into the realm of life. See, when you look to the Bible, or rather you can interpret the mind of the Spirit by looking into the creation, you discover that all the Father wants is that you behold ourselves the way we are known of Him. He wants His children to awaken back to that true self that they had from the beginning before they descended into this dimension called the world. Praise God. So the light of the world has come to illuminate us. He has descended from heaven to deliver men from the grip of death and to crown them once more with life. Praise God. Now, we are speaking about Elisha, the transformation of Elisha. Elisha is another figure that represents Christ in His fullness. The miracles that He performed, say like healing the bitter waters with the cruse of salt, multiplication of bread, see it raising the dead, see it intoxicating the stew of the prophets, and many of those miracles He did were simply a demonstration of His life-giving capability. See, it was a demonstration of endless supply from the dimension of the Spirit. Son of God is one who is connected with the Father, who is connected with the source of life, so that through Him it becomes a channel through which that Spirit of God flows freely to a dead world that does not know God. So when the Son of God appears on the scene, it's actually a means by which the streams of living water from the heart of God flow into the creation and quicken the dead, raise the dead up, say it, heal the bitter waters, say it, supply the bread as the truth that will be able to heal the souls of men. So Elisha was simply a figure, a type of Christ. I'm not saying he was Christ, see it, but he was a shadow of Christ. So we have a lot to learn from him. If we want to walk in the excellency of Christ Jesus and, you know, become life givers, a channel through which the endless supply of the Spirit will flow, we must, of course, understand the secrets of Elisha. Praise God. Elisha was just an ordinary man, businessman, had a family business, a farmer with oxen, 12 oxen. And along the line, you receive the call from Elijah. See, moments earlier, Elijah had received a word from the Lord to call Elisha as his successor, meaning Elisha was to take over the ministry of Elijah. So Elijah passes by the town of Elisha and drops his mantle or his cloak. It talks of his glory, his anointing. He dropped that cloak on top of Elisha, And Elisha immediately understood the sign, recognizing the greatness and the glory that was embedded in Elijah. Elisha left all. Without hesitation, he left all. Praise God. The Bible says that Elisha killed his ox, that was his business, and distributed the meat to his family members. See, and he said bye-bye to his family. He said bye-bye to his friend, his family, because he knew that he was entering into a new life, a new walk. Praise God. This is the mind of those who want to follow Christ into excellence. You must be prepared to leave all to follow Christ in the regeneration. See, this is the same calling with which Jesus called the disciples. Remember, when he passes on them, he simply drops his mantle on them, talking of spiritually speaking, saying, "Follow me." And you see that the disciples, the Bible says they left all to follow Christ. Peter was a fisherman. See, he left the fishing business to become a fisher of men. The others had their businesses. There was a tax collector among them. There was a doctor among them, a physician among them. They left all to follow Christ. See, recognizing that in him lies the fullness and the totality of God's glory. See, this must be the mindset of anyone who desires to walk in that power and glory of the Son of God. For the Son of God will not have anything to do with this world. See, those who will fight the good fight of the faith are those who will abstain from the things of this world. Praise God. Of course, it does not mean that immediately you hear this message, you leave all, but rather it shows the priority that your mind must be stayed on the things of the Spirit. See it. However, there is a time of the manifestation. There is a time of the full blossoming of Christ within, and it is expected that according to your measure of faith, that you are supposed to loosen yourself from all your attachments in this outer world. Praise God. We see what happened. Elisha left his family, he left all, his businesses, everything. Praise God. Now Jesus Christ made a reference to this when Jesus Christ spoke about passing the eye of the needle. He says that a rich man cannot pass through the eye of the needle. The rich man is a man who has treasure upon the earth. A rich man is one who has a sense of belonging in this natural material age. See, as long as there is a treasure or a sense of belonging to the outer, see, there is no way a man can possibly enter in. Now we are seeing why many people have received this calling over the ages, but very few ever enter in. See, many people know all mysteries. they read books upon books, and they become preachers and, you know, well-known and renowned all over the world, but very few actually go on to take a hold on that eternal life. Why? Because some people try to live in two worlds. See, to pass the eye, the needle, we must become spiritually inclined, conform to the spirit. See, the rich man with his treasures upon his head and his sense of belonging to this natural world and cannot pass through the eye of a needle. It's impossible. See, that's why we have to follow Christ in the regeneration. See, this rich man who asked Jesus what he can do to inherit life, see, ceased to follow Jesus, turned back and went his way when he discovered that he had to let go of all to gain God. Praise God. Now when you hear messages like this, you have to let the Spirit of God minister to you. He will teach you what to do. He will lead you in the way to go. Praise God. Certain luggages and things that have no benefit in your life, along the line, as the Holy Spirit leads you, these things will be dropped. But you must recognize that there is nothing that you can have in this world that can be compared with the glories of Christ. Praise God. All the money in the bank account, all the fame in this world, all the recognition in this world cannot be compared to that impeccable glory of Christ. So we must be ready to move on. Praise God. So Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 19, verse 23 says unto his disciples, "Very verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are impossible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. And what shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, now this is the reward for those who are able to discern the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Those who are able to, you know, let go of the vanity or the attachment to this world, to get hold of Christ, the invisible and incorruptible Son of God. This is what they will gain. See, Peter says that, "Lord, we have left all. So what do we have?" And Peter said, "This is what they will get. Very, very I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, where the Son of Man shall sit in the front of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and last shall be first." Praise God. See, those who have left brethren, those who have left mother, say father, lands, houses, this is your house, this is your land, this is your land, this is your house. See, if you have allowed the Lord to reign in you and the Lord to possess this house, so that it is no longer the house of that old man of the flesh, but rather the house of the Spirit, the house of Christ. See, Jesus Christ says you inherit hundredfold in this present age, brethren, city, houses, lands, and in the age to come, eternal life. And of course, you have the glory and the power of God, because you inherit a throne of glory to rule and to reign with Christ. See, seated in heavenly places, ruling and reigning. No more being dominated, but dominating, having subjection all principalities and powers, ruling absolutely in the glory of Christ. And you see, inherit the eternal life, that is the life of God, the rich, abundant life of God. Praise God. The beautiful life of God, depicted by the Garden of Eden. The life of pleasures, peace untouchable, joy untouchable, liberty untouchable. Hallelujah. Now this is the inheritance for those who live on. Praise God. See, now you have the power in Christ to obtain anything you want. In Christ you have the power to obtain houses, you have the power to obtain material riches, you have the power to obtain everything that you want in Christ. Praise God. We see examples like that of Moses. Moses left all. Left all the glories of Egypt. And see, we came back with great power and authority. See, walking in the majesty of God, of the I Am. So this is the inheritance for those who live on. Praise God. And you see, Jesus Christ also left all. See, he left his sense of belonging to this material age. Remember in one of his unions, they met him and said, look, your brother and your sisters, they are outside. And he told them, who are my brothers and sisters? Who's my mother and my brothers and sisters? Look at them here. The ones that do the will of my Father. These are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. See, he had left all attachment to the natural canary. See, and he was walking in the Spirit according to the truth, according to the revelation light of God. See, and that is why he could do things he did. He had no sense of attachment to this world, to this natural world. He walked purely in the spiritual dimension of God, in God's realm. See, and that's why he could do the works he could do. See, Jesus Christ never had riches. He never had material riches and all, but he had the power to attract these riches. He had the power to pull these things out of the spirit realm. See, that's why he could multiply the loaves of bread, 5 loaves of bread for multitudes. See, for 5,000 people. Praise God. Now, if you cost that, I bet, for instance, in a typical city in Europe, to eat a well-balanced diet, you might need, let's say, about 25 euros, 30 euros. Multiply that by 5,000 or 7,000. See, so you could see that the money is not the problem for the Son of God. Riches is not the problem for the Son of God. See, he has the power to get anything he wants. See, the tax collectors came to collect tax from him. See, and rather than panic like most men would do and get worried, what did he do? He told them to go to the sea and get out the fish, the first fish they catch, open the mouth and collect the money from the mouth of the fish. See, the cat talks of the unlimited supply, unlimited power that flows in the Son of God. See, but you cannot get into that state. You cannot operate in that authority and power except you lose your life, except you lose all to hold on to that spiritual life that is Christ. Praise God. The first shall be the last. Hallelujah. See, those who will live on and follow Christ in the regeneration, as in the transformation, in the translation, see, will retain their original state the way it was from the beginning. Praise God. This is the thing that Elisha sees and follows Elijah. He was able to comprehend the riches in glory, the honor, the privilege that he was to inherit through his association with Elijah. Likewise, man, and those of us who seek excellence, eternal excellence, must be prepared to live all to follow Christ. follow the leading of the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God take control of our everyday life. It is vitally important. Praise God. And the Spirit of God will lead you only one way. It will lead you unto Himself. Praise God. It's very, very important. Hallelujah. Now, Elisha does not immediately inherit glory. See, the first pass for Elisha was to become a servant of Elijah's master. Praise God. To become a servant, that is the way to glory. Any man who seeks to ascend into the place of all power and authority, into the place of the glory of God's kingdom, must be prepared to serve. Servanthood, serving the name of the Lord, serving your master who is Christ. Faith. And today, Christ, you are going to see Christ in the Spirit in all men that you come across. Meaning that you humble yourself to become a servant, serving all men, beholding the Christ in them. See, not just to the Christians, not just to your family members, not just to those who agree with what you preach, but to all men. You just become a servant, serving them, serving the Christ in them. See it. Praise God. And Jesus Christ promises that those that serve me, where I am, there they will be. You see this in John chapter 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world, this material world, in this world of appearances, in this carnal realm, shall keep it unto eternal life. Hallelujah. If any man serve me, and let him follow me in the regeneration. And where I am, there also my servant shall be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So you see, the path to honor and glory is servanthood. Learning to serve, to wash the feet of saints, serving the name of the Lord. See, we just have to change our mindsets from the ways of man. The ways of man is to be recognized, to rule, and to kind of seek to lord it over. But it will not be so for those who know the truth. Those who do know the truth will seek to just be servants in the house of God and nothing more. See, that is the eye with which you will enter into the place of power and glory. It's as you become a servant unto God. Servanthood is vitally important. Jesus Christ demonstrates this in John chapter 13 from verse 4. As you know, the Bible says that after this eating with the disciples, he stood up and removed his garments and stooped down to wash the feet of his disciples. And Peter says, no, you can't do that. You're my master. And Jesus Christ says, if I don't do this, you don't have a part in me. And what I do now, later you will understand. See, when Jesus Christ finished washing their feet, he put on his garment and went back to his seat. Praise God. This is a very symbolic gesture of the Lord living his glory in heaven, his throne in heaven, and coming down, humbling himself as a man to serve, to wash the feet of saints, to serve, and to wash the feet of saints. Praise God. Jesus Christ did this as an example for everyone who seeks glory to follow. Praise God. If you go down to John chapter 13, verse 13, he says, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then your Lord and Master has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I am giving you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Happy are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you recognize the secret of servanthood. See, we just have to loosen ourselves from any sense of importance. See, self-love, exaltation in the flesh, and just humble ourselves to become servants. Do this to one another, recognizing Christ in you, recognizing the glory of God in the brethren, in the brother out there, without partiality, and serving them, honoring them. Hallelujah. This is the will of God for us. That we serve and honor one another. As we do these things, the gateway of heaven is open. Praise God. Servanthood, very, very important. See, the servant is the one that taps the anointing from the master. The servant is the one that inherits the everything that the master has. I'm talking of his spiritual loving. We saw this thing happening in the days of Joshua. Joshua was the servant of Moses. See, and he served normally in the tabernacle of God, serving Moses. I will say at the end of his ministry, the mantle of Moses fell upon Joshua. And Joshua also did these great works. See, parting the Red Sea. See, causing the sun to be stayed. See, causing the river Jordan, sorry, not the Red Sea, causing the walls of Jericho to crumble. Many, many great miracles Joshua did, because that same anointing that was in his master came upon him, confirming the words of Jesus. Jesus Christ says that the disciple is not above his master. I see, I'm reading Luke chapter 6, verse 10. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Everyone that is perfect shall be as what his master. See, when we draw close to the master and serve the master faithfully, the master shows us his secrets. And everything that the master has in him is transferred in us. So that we become as the master. See, the intention is that Christ is manifest in us. The intention is that the fullness of the Son of God is blossomed and the manifesting, so that all the world can see Christ in us and believe. They will see the immaculate, perfect creation of God. And that one that God created in the beginning. See, to manifest through us. See, this servant shall be as the master. Praise God. Those servants who become as the master are those who will manifest the glory of God before a crooked generation. They are the ones who appear with Christ in glory, revealing the mystery of godliness. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. So servanthood is a key. So we must leave the pride of life, the vanity of this age, and seek to walk in the Spirit. And then recognizing that presence, eternal presence. Praise God. Very, very important. See, hallelujah, as we follow the leading of our master, we see that Elisha always followed Elijah everywhere he went. Unknown to many, Elijah had a messenger, or rather a servant that was with him before Elisha. But somewhere along the line, Elijah left the messenger, the servant, somewhere before he went to meet the Lord upon Mount Horeb. And you can see that the servant was satisfied to remain there. See, we must be aggressive. We must be determined to follow Christ wherever he goes. To follow him unto the death of ourselves. Because following Christ means dying unto ourselves. We must be determined. Our eyes must be focused on the glory that comes after. Our eyes must be focused on the goodness of God that rests with those who find this marvelous grace of life. We must be focused. See, the previous servant of Elijah got lost along the way because he refused to follow his master. But like we're going to read now in 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1, Elisha followed and insisted and insisted and followed Elijah unto the very end. That is why he was able to inherit the glory of Elijah, his master. He was able to inherit the glory of Elijah, who, like we know, is a figure of Christ, a type of Christ, a shadow of Christ, a shadow of the Son of God. So we must be able to follow Christ unto the very end if we want to be partaker of his glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. The anointing must pass hands. Hallelujah. We're going to see suddenly how the servant becomes like his master. Praise God. Very much the same way the disciples of old became exactly like Jesus. The Bible says that the disciples of old who followed Jesus faithfully, of course we know along the line that some of them faltered, they denied Jesus, along the way when the temptation was strong, but they were restored. And see, those disciples that beheld Jesus as he went up in the cloud after his ministry, you see this in the first chapter of Acts, you see that these were the same disciples that inherited the mantle of Jesus a few days later on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the glory of God, that is the mantle of Jesus, the cloak of glory of Jesus, descended upon the disciples, these same disciples that saw him ascending up in the glory cloud. These ones that followed him on to the end. So they beheld him as he went on. So these are the same ones that beheld him as he came back in the glorious cloud. The Bible says that they were transformed. They spoke in new tongues. And they went around doing miracles exactly the way Jesus Christ did. They went around doing works, working in the authority and in the power that Jesus worked in. And the people marveled and they wondered. See, when they saw them, that is why the name Jesus Christ, Christianity came alive. Christianity, Christ-like. They saw Christ in the people. They saw the same one that disappeared, that was dead, become alive again in the people, performing the same good works, declaring the majesty of God. And in likewise manner, Elisha inherited the glory of Elijah in this same manner. Praise God. But we're going to see step by step how Elijah accomplished this feat. Praise God. Because there are lessons here, spiritual lessons. See, there must be a following. You see, we must follow the Lamb wherever he goes. We must be prepared to leave all to follow Christ wherever he goes. Recognizing the riches and of glory, the riches and the glory and the power nested in him. For we know it has pleased God that the fullness of God, the totality of God, it dwells in the Son of God. Hallelujah. So that he's anointed with the anointing of God without limit. The grace of God abounds in Christ without limit. Everything that is of God abounds in Christ without limit. So we must be prepared to follow Him unto the very end. For this is our great reward. Hallelujah. This is the honor with which we will be honored with. For every master shall be as, every servant shall be as his master. Every disciple shall be as his guru. Praise God. Now we move on. And it came to pass, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. I'll read fast here. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Praise God. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here. This is the second time Elijah is telling Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were in Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, the sons of the prophets again come to Elisha, and they say unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him the third time, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. I just read 2 Kings chapter 1. Chapter 2 from verse 1 to 8, I will advise you to read these things, meditating. It's a very, very rich with revelation. We see two obstacles to Elisha's progress here. Three times he was asked to wait. He was asked to wait, to tarry, that the Lord was about to take away Elijah. Elijah told him, you wait here. He told him the first time at Gilgal, you wait here. I have to go. The Lord is about to take me away. Elisha bluntly refused over his dead body. I will not leave you. I will follow you on to the very end. Elisha bluntly refused. Says, Lord, I will follow you to the very end. My master, you are not leaving me. Elisha asked him the second time at Bethel, you wait here, tarry here, wait here while I go over the Jordan. While I go, because the Lord is to take me away. Elisha, you know, refuses again. Now Elisha asked him the third time in the third city called Jericho, you tarry here, wait here, you know, while I go, the Lord is about to take me away. And Elisha refused. See, this was how Elisha was able to pass this first obstacle. See, remember that Elijah had another servant. Like I said, if you look back, go backwards, Elijah told the first servant to remain there before he went on into the wilderness to meet with the Lord on at Horeb, Mount Horeb. But the first servant just remained there. He just remained there. But we see the determination of Elisha to follow Christ. So the determination, praise God, to carry on this work, to progress on, not being satisfied to just remain in one position, but following the master to the very end. Hallelujah. In likewise manner, we ought to be very, very, very careful that we do not slip along the line. Probably the journey was tedious. Who knows? At times we want to cool off and rest along the way. But this is not, it will not be so for those who are determined to inherit glory. We must be ready to carry on to the very end. See, every obstacle that tries to, you know, bar us from that vision of inheriting the totality of God's glory must be put out of our way. Praise God. Hallelujah. We must not remain satisfied where we are. Satisfied with a little revelation and remain there. And build some kind of institution around a revelation. No. The only thing that counts and the only thing that we should seek is to inherit the totality of God. Paul says that I may be found in Him. That I may be found in Him. That I have left all my self-importance, all my knowledge, self-importance, all the struggle to be known and all the rubbish that men do outside, the very things that men do outside, I've left all. But I'm focused. My mind is set on that goal above, in front of me. Single-mindedness like Elisha. Praise God. There was another barricade, another obstacle for Elisha. See, there were the prophets. See, two groups of prophets. There was the prophet, first of all, in the second city called Bethel, and there was the other group of prophets who were in the third city called Jericho. See, and these ones, they knew that Elijah was to be taken up. If they knew Elijah was to be taken up, why didn't they follow him? See, why didn't they get that revelation that if they followed him, they'll probably inherit that glory that he had? Why didn't they get that insight that Elisha had? You see, knowledge is not enough. Reading books is not enough. Praise God. Only inheriting glory that will do. See, these prophets at Bethel and Jericho represents religious-minded brethren. Religious-minded people in the systems of religion and in the systems of men who have their beliefs and their standards and just sit back and wait for some kind of, you know, false hope. The first category are the category of brethren who still, you know, view Jesus as some kind of person without. They fail to recognize Christ within. They fail to recognize the mystery of divinity within, but they recognize Christ after the flesh. So as long as we recognize Christ after the flesh, how can we possibly enter into partake of that same glory of Christ? Because the flesh remains as a veil over the face of those who are religious today. It's a veil. It's a covering. So that you do not recognize that Christ is you. You are still looking outward. That has become a veil to you. And that is the veil that operates in religion. Those who still expect some kind of rapture, Who still expect to see Jesus physically in the sky? Who still expect to touch him and to love him somewhere in heaven? That is the veil. See, some people have a revelation of the coming of Christ, but it doesn't go beyond that. See, you can perform miracles. The 50 talks of Pentecost, there are 50 prophets in the city of Jericho. You can have the prophetic anointing, the spiritual anointing to perform miracles and to do works as children of God and all that. See, but that does not qualify you to be partakers of the glory of God. That which qualifies us is our ability to follow Christ unto the very end. Yes, the gifts come. Yes, the knowledge comes. But the gifts and the knowledge are meant to push us into Christ, lead us into Christ. See, it is not, these gifts are not meant to kind of institutionalize ourselves upon the earth, to build religious systems upon the earth, and to kind of gather riches upon the earth to ourselves, but rather they are to take us into Christ. So I might do works of faith, miracles and all that. I might, you know, do, how do I put it? I might have the ability to attract crowds, to have a successful ministry upon the earth with thousands of people in attendance and all that kind of stuff. But it does not qualify me to be a partaker of that celestial calling. Remember the children of Israel all partook of the miracles in the wilderness. They saw the manna fall daily from heaven. They saw the rock being split and water gushing out. They saw miracles of the Red Sea being, you know, split into two. They saw great miracles. You want to talk of miracles? You ask the Israelites. Their sandals did not wear out for 40 years in the wilderness, in a harsh wilderness filled with rocks, sharp rocks, and serpents and scorpions. When you talk of miracles, ask the Israelites. But those miracles did not qualify them to enter into the promised land. It's our ability to believe and to follow Christ. Follow on the leading of the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead you into Christ. Let the Spirit transform you and cause you to ascend into Christ knowledge. Knowledge of the inner man of the Spirit. So that is when prophet comes. See? So you see, Elisha just simply shuts the prophets up. We should always learn to avoid evil communication. Don't allow ourselves to be contaminated with people who do not believe what you believe. People who do not have this revelation that you have. If Elisha stayed one moment to start listening to these prophets, they would have taken away his faith from him. They would have stripped him of his faith to go beyond the Jordan with Elijah. They will feed you with unbelief. See, they will feed you with fear. See, they will feed you with something that will deviate you from that prize that is in Christ Jesus. So we have to guard this faith that we have in us jealously. See, don't let the seed of faith in you that has been deposited be robbed by the many, many voices that we hear about. Voices that appear religious. These are prophets. See, these are not prophets of Balaam. These are prophets of God. You see, but they did not have the insight that Elisha had. That insight is being given to us today, and we are admonished to guide it. Don't let any man rob you of a crown. This is the message to the church in, you know, Philadelphia, the 600. Don't let any man rob you of your crown. Be constant. Hallelujah. Don't let men, you know, try to accuse you. Don't let men try to look at your imperfections within the flesh, your family members. somebody in your family is sick, or you know, you have some kind of financial problem, or something is not perfect. Don't let a man try to sway you away, to feed you with unbelief. Let your mind be focused on the goal of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Praise God. See, so you see, Elisha was able to overcome all these temptations. See it. Who received temptations? From brethren around us? Our brethren in Italy? Who preach against us and pulpit? Tell their members not to get go near us? We have all these oppositions. See, people who you are close to, who you think probably have the same purpose with you somewhere along the line, they leave you. You have these experiences. See, but those who will go beyond the Jordan with the Lord, Jordan signifies death. And those who will learn to walk as solitary people, you have to learn to have only the Lord and the Lord alone by your right hand side. We must learn individually to walk by faith with the Lord and the Lord alone. The spiritual work. So moments before Jesus Christ went to the cross, he says, I know you all will leave me shortly. See, but the Father has not left me. The Father is always with me. We have to learn to understand that to enter into that place, you not enter with luggage. You enter only with the Lord. With God, all things are possible. It's only you and the Lord. You must individually enter with the Lord through the eye of the needle. To pass the Jordan is for the solitary. You must be only you and Christ. Walk in the Spirit. A solitary walk in the Spirit. Yes, God. Hallelujah. You are ceasing from the dimension of men beyond the Jordan. That is the other side of the Jordan, is the dimension of men. It's the realm of men. But we cease to walk in the realm of men and in the realms of religion. See, doctrines of men. See, doctrines of devil, Satan, doctrines of torments that rule in the realms of religion. See, religion is just a tool of the devil to bind the souls of men, to keep them in bondage. See, when you look at it, you discover religion looks something godly, looks something of God, isn't it? See, it's just like the revelation that the Apostle John saw in the book of Revelations. He saw the Lamb, and the Lamb spoke as a dragon. Something that looked as a lamb. He had the horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. That is the face of religion. It looks real, but it's actually governed by the dragon, which is the devil. See it? And the souls of many are trapped in these systems, trapped with doctrines, false hopes. See it? Praise God. Trapped under magicians, the systems of religion. But it will not be so for those who will cross over. Praise God. You must loosen yourself from all attachment with men and the systems of men. It's for the solid. Praise God. Our guiding is unto the Lord and not unto men. Praise God. So you see, the 50 prophets stood afar. I'm sure the 50 prophets had asked Elijah to cross over with Elijah, they would have probably inherited glory. But they stood aside. Only talk. That's a big talk. But they never enter in. They never go beyond talk. They stand at the door, but they never enter in. Praise God. So you must die to self. Jordan means death to self. For you can enter into that place. Praise God. It's a place for the solitary. Only Elisha and Elijah were in that place. It's only you and Christ. You have to come to that place in the quiet. Communion by faith, walking in the Spirit daily. Praise God. Hallelujah. Only as we walk in the Spirit can we discover the place of life. Praise God. Now let's move on. Second Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass, when they had gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Praise God. So we see Elisha asks for a double portion of the anointing of the spirit of Elijah. Praise God. And Elijah tells Elisha that what you ask is very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. But anyway, if you see me when I'm taken away, if you see me when I'm taken away, this request shall be granted unto you. But if you do not see me as I've been taken away by the Lord, it will not be granted unto you. Praise God. Now this thing sounds very, very, very easy, isn't it? See, but it's not as easy as you think. Praise God. It's more deeper and subtle than you ever can imagine. This thing that Elijah gave as a condition for Elijah to inherit the double portion. Today we all want the double portion, isn't it? We all want the anointing, isn't it? We all want to be like Jesus. We all want to do the works of Jesus, isn't it? Everybody wants to enter God's kingdom. Jesus Christ said, the works that I do, you will do, and greater works you will also do. And people read this thing, and everybody wants to do these things. But how many people can stand and behold this ministry today? If you can see me when I'm taken up, then it shall be granted to you. See what? Let us now go further to see this thing that occurred as Elijah was taken up. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell with from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha passed over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed before him, bowed themselves to the ground before him. Praise God. So you see, what Elisha saw while he spoke with Elijah was a chariot of fire and horsemen of fire. This, as he saw them suddenly, his master Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. This was the thing that Elisha saw. And as he saw him, he screamed, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he rent his garments apart, his old clothes, and took up the mantle of Elijah, his master. From that moment, it was Elisha walking in great glory and in great power. It was a new Elisha that emerged from beyond the Jordan. So that when he came across the other side, those prophets recognized that of a truth, the spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha, and they bowed down before Elisha. See, Elisha was translated. See, translation is just not a matter of being physically taken up, but he was translated inwardly, so that we had a new man appearing in the spirit of Elijah. He was translated into that same glory that Elijah walked in and functioned in. Because Elijah was the chief among all the prophets in the land of Israel. Praise God. But Elisha, who had insisted and followed his master unto the end, now becomes as his master. Seeing Elisha was seen like seeing Elijah, because that same anointing rested in him. In likewise manner shall he be so for the saints of God, those who follow Christ up to the very end. Praise God. For they live on account of Christ. Seeing them is seeing Christ. Touching them is touching Christ. And we know seeing Christ is seeing God. This is the great calling with which we are called to in these last days. Hallelujah. All Elisha needed to do was to behold that sight. It's not a sight that the men of this age ever behold. That thing that Elisha saw is a secret, is hidden from the men of this age. Praise God. His eyes were open to see the real world. His eyes were open to see God's kingdom, God's invisible realm. His eyes was open to see the congregation of the gathering of God's elect, perfected spirits and saints, myriads of angels that are gathered upon Mount Zion. He was beholding Christ in his glory. Praise God. That is the dimension that God is opening up to us today in this hour. To see that realm wherein the Father's presence is found. That realm where our consolation rests. It's Mount Zion. Mount Zion is all about the spiritual. It's all about the invisible. Praise God. See, we're being transported from this realm of the natural invisible, this temporal order, into an eternal realm, an invisible realm. Praise God. All we need to do is to see, to have the eyes open to behold that one, to enter into it, to behold truth. Praise God. There's a translation that occurs as we behold the truth, single-mindedly, with a single eye. One moment of distraction for Elisha would have cost him his crown. Just a moment of distraction would have cost him his crown, because it was in a moment. The eyes had to be fixed open to behold that realm, not being distracted by the activities in the outer realm, the realm of appearances, the realm of men. You must allow the Spirit to guide you into the quiet, where this transformation and translation can occur. When nothing distracts your sight, the eye has to be single. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. The eyes have to be open to see beyond. Hallelujah. It's not as easy as you think just to see. The eyes have to be stayed focused. Your treasure has to be in that kingdom among the myriads of angels, the invisible host of God. That's why Jesus Christ says, let your eye be single. Praise God. Say, don't lay up treasures upon the earth in this world, but let your treasures be laid up in the heavens, where you don't have corruptibility, where things don't rust and grow old. See, we know the things that we see in this world are temporary, passing away. They appear for a moment. They appear as though they are, but they are not. But that which is invisible is real. That which is invisible is eternal. And we look unto that which is eternal. Our eyes is focused on that which is eternal. And that which is eternal is Christ. It's the kingdom of God. God's world is Christ. We have to behold and contemplate the glory of Christ. The eye has to be single. Praise God. Those who will be translated from the earthly to the heavenly. See, because we know the promise is that we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the Lord, such are they also that are earthy. Sorry, excuse me. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we are born the image of the earthly seed. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Are you listening? In reality, that translation that occurred as Elisha was beholding Elijah being taken away is actually transformation and translation from that earthly man to the celestial man, which is Christ. Saint. Praise God. In reality, as Elisha beheld that sight, that spectacle, he was translated to and initiated into that body. You see that from that moment onward, Elisha was encompassed with this same chariot of fire. He was encompassed with this same invisible presence from that moment onwards, and he was conscious of it. That's why he could do the works he did. Praise God. In one of these occasions, we remember when he was threatened. You see this in 2 Kings chapter 6, from the verse 15 to 17, when the soldiers, you know, surrounded the city at by night, and you know, in the morning when they awoke, the servant of Elijah was scared. When he saw the city was surrounded by soldiers, by chariots. And Elisha was cool and he told God to open the eyes. Open the eyes of my servant so that he will see that invisible presence that encompasses us. And the eyes of the servant of Elisha was opened, this young man, and he saw that they were surrounded with chariots of fire. So you can see that the presence of God hovered over Elisha. He was actually initiated into that body. So this is the same thing with Jesus. Jesus Christ was actually that company of saints, company of, you know, of celestial beings, spirits, walking in union with them, in alignment. See it. Hallelujah. He was always in that cloud, which represents the chariots of God. He makes the clouds his chariots. See it. On the mountain of transfiguration, they saw him again in that cloud, encompassed in that cloud. He was taken up also in that cloud. That is the glory in which he walked in. Allegorically, Elijah inherited that glory. See, he was initiated into that body as he single-mindedly watched that spectacle. So the eye must be single, praise God. Those of us who will be translated, who will bear the image of the invisible and incorruptible God, who will walk in the fullness of glory, must allow the Spirit to translate us inwardly. There must be a translation inwardly as we behold the spectacle. Praise God. Those chariots of fire represent spirits, immaculate spirits. Praise God. The Bible says he makes his angels flames of fire. These are spirits. God is a consuming fire. The angels also walk as spirit in the nature of the Father. They are celestial beings, spiritual beings. They are not of this material world. So if we are to bear the image of the heavenly, we must be born again. There must be a rebirth for the natural flesh and blood consciousness that we have put on in Adam cannot enter beyond into God's kingdom. We cannot be found among these myriads of angels. We cannot be gathered among these people upon Mount Zion if we are not transformed from the earthly. Praise God. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, "Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." A single eye. That eye that is able to behold into the spirit, pierce through the darkness of this outer realm, and behold the truth in the spirit as it is from the mind of God. See, ability to behold with a single eye is given to us by God's Spirit. He has supplied us with the Spirit abundantly so that we can begin to see into the Spirit, and we are admonished to focus in the Spirit in the twinkle of an eye. Praise God. At the last trump, for the trump will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall it come to pass the saying, that death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Those who will receive this translation are the ones who have the victory over death. Because if you stand among this company of angels, you can never die. See, it's the dimension of the spirit that never passes away. You live after another dimension, after a new age. Age to come in Christ Jesus. No more after this age, this natural world that we live in, but in a, after a new age in Christ Jesus. Praise God. This is the calling with which we are called. But we are admonished to stay beholding this glory of Christ. Beholding that which is truth with a single eye. Not being swayed left and right. Not being distracted with the bodies of and the cares of life. But be focused on the things of the Spirit. See, a single eye. It's with a single eye that we can enter. See, it's with a single eye that will destroy the old man of the flesh.
I saw it.
See, this is what happened when Elisha tore his garment. That garment he tore represents the old man. The old man, the old corruptible man. See, who is unrighteous is all his ways. Created, you know, in the likeness of the beast. That's the man of the flesh. See, it's actually the fleshy mind, the fleshy consciousness that we have put on in our transgression. See, that man is destroyed as we contemplate the glory of Christ with a single eye. We must see him, behold him as the truth, and the eye must be focused on the truth. And as we behold him in us and in the world, in everything, we are being liberated from the corruption, the lustful old man of this age. Praise God. This is the power of God working in us today. Oh, hallelujah. The single eye, praise God, contemplating the glory of God, not being distracted. The key years of life, problem in family, finance problems, health problems, see, worries of tomorrow, future, and all these things. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Loosen yourself from those things that easily beset you. Loosen yourself from those things that distract you. See, don't get entangled with the things of this world. To be free, free from the systems of men, the associations. Don't entangle yourself with men. Be free as a man. So I can behold this sight, this spectacle. Behold Christ, the truth. Praise God. Talk with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Praise God. And where the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same glory, from glory into that same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. See, that veil was lifted over the face of Elisha to behold the glory of Elisha. Of Elijah. See, in reality, the Spirit of Christ is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is actually the gathering of all the immaculate spirits of the perfected saints in one upon Mount Zion. We form that body, the Spirit of Christ. It's the Lord's body. They are inseparable. There's no such thing as Jesus here, Paul here, James there, Barabbas, the other side, no. They are all one spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, Christ. Praise God. And as we behold the glory of God, behold the truth, the eyes focused in the Spirit, exactly the way Elisha was focused, not being distracted, turning to the left or to the right, as we behold these things, patiently, we are being transformed into that same image. That's your spiritual, immaculate, celestial image. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are being transformed, translated. The outer man is put to death, destroyed, ripped apart by the light, the rays of light coming from his presence. Praise God. As this thing occurs, we will discover the new life, the life of Christ in us. And you will discover the lost glories. Praise God. We will discover ourselves ruling and reigning in life so that we become vessels, conductors of life. The streams of living water flow through us, bring healing to the nations. The love of God and the essence of God flows through us, healing the nations, quickening them. Praise God. The bitter waters become healed because we are the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Those who walk in darkness, in prison places, in dungeons, in gloominess, in sorrows, are let loose from the prison houses because we are the light of the world. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. The hungry are fed and are satisfied because we are the bread of life. the dead are raised up.
Hallelujah.
And quickened through the ministry, through the flow of the life of God in us.
Praise God.
Because we discover that unity that we had with God in the beginning. We discover that we are one with God. We discover that we are celestial spiritual beings, not of this world, but of a dimension, an age that never expires, that never passes away.
Hallelujah.
Elisha's story is simply a pointer to the translation that occurs to me saying, it needs continuity. We have to be constant in our walk with God. Letting go of the things that distract us, elements that distract us. Not allowing the brethren and the sisters of religion, friends, family members to distract us from this goal.
See it.
People who don't have the same vision with you, don't let them distract you from this high calling. But remain focused. Having a man stay on the Lord and the Lord alone. Go praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we've understood the mystery of Elisha's translation. Simply pointed to the work that God is doing to his saints today.
Praise God.
It's an activity that works, happens internally within us. Those who can discern the sense of the time. So let us move on with the Lord, brethren. God keep you.
Amen.
The sons of God shall arise, dying away. And the sons of God will arise, Zion away.